Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Saints Coaches Show. Mike Haas here, Bobby Hebert joining us from the Silver Slipper in Hancock County, Mississippi. And we're talking about all things Saints as they just roll in game one, 47-10 over the Carolina Panthers, 30-0 at one point, 30-3 at halftime as the Saints get the victory, the third straight season opening win for Saints head coach Dennis Allen and the sixth straight season opening win for the Saints, and that is the longest active streak in the NFL. Bobby, were you, as we getting ready to have Coach Allen jump on the line, were you a little surprised at the way, and a lot of it today has been, is it bad Carolina, good Saints, but who cares at this point?
It's an NFL team. I mean, come on. Carolina Panthers, they do play the National Football League. The New York Giants play the National Football League. Now, that was beyond a convincing win. That was an ass-whipping. I mean, you can't sugarcoat that. But you can go through a number of categories. You know, it's not never a perfect game. And Coach Allen would tell you, I think the only negative, and I try and, and look into this, would be the penalties. Now, yeah. if it was a field goal, touchdown type game, because you never want nine or more penalties around 100 yards, because that's basically like you giving up a touchdown. But when you win 47-10, it doesn't matter. So well, you look like total first downs, 2-1. And then Coach Allen's going to elaborate on this, but I can go on and on. No, it was like something that you went to bed the night before the game, and you couldn't have dreamt a better outcome than what actually occurred.
We are welcoming Saints head coach Dennis Allen to the show, and Coach, picking up where Bobby was, and it is. I mean, you can script it and talk about it, and we talked late in the week about the ability to run the football and that being the narrative. And until you do it, it's going to be the narrative. And, man, that's just a heck of a win yesterday.
Yeah, well, appreciate you guys having me on. And it was a heck of a win, a good way to start the season, and a good look at what, the type of team that we want to be. And I thought it was a good start in that regard. And there's still a lot of things that we got to get corrected and get cleaned up. But certainly it was a good way to start the season.
You know, Coach Allen, when I look at this, and obviously we weren't that efficient. You're not game planning in the preseason like third down offense. I always look at, if you don't want to possess the football, and we had the ball over 13 minutes more than Carolina. But I thought this two areas I want you to elaborate on, third down offense and defense, and then are you able to run the ball efficiently and stop the run? Well, then this is about as good as it gets. 54% on third down conversions, and they were only one of 10% on third down. I'd say we're probably leading the NFL on third down defense based on that. I mean, that speaks volumes right there. And then we only gave up 2.9 yards a carry, and then we basically averaged 5 yards a carry. You do that, then you throw in plus two in the turnover margin. There's no way in hell you could lose. I mean, I hope that comes up this Sunday because I can guarantee a win for sure. But that was unbelievable how dominant you were in those areas.
Yeah, look, I think, number one is if you're able to run the football and you're able to win the third down battle, you got a great opportunity to win the time of possession battle. And obviously the team that, is able to possess the ball longer has more opportunities to score. So I thought third down offensively was something that we really improved on from where we were at in the preseason. I thought our guys really executed well in those situations. Defensively, I thought we did a good job of getting some pressure on the quarterback in third down situations. Lante Taylor was really good coming off the slot in some blitz situations. So that was really good to see. So I think, again, I get back to, if you're able to run the football All right, that's going to get you into more manageable third down situations. If you're able to stop the run, you're going to get teams in the longer third down situations, and so therefore you got a better chance to win that third down battle.
You know, Coach Allen, it seems like, I don't know, you look across the league and everyone questions whether it's Derrick Henry, McCaffrey, whoever it might be, and our own Alvin Kamara. Bob, whenever you are sniffing 30 years of age and Alvin being 29, oh, they're old running back. But I tell the Who Dat Nation, tell the fans, Alvin Kamara, I think, is a young 29. And if we block for him, I've seen the burst in the OTA's minicamp. I still think he can hit it and get it. And you look at he was able to contribute as a pass receiving running back and as running the football, that all of a sudden he has 110 yards. And I told the fans this. Let me tell you, the last seven seasons, I think it's a big enough sample size. Christian McCaffrey, last seven seasons, has 450 more yards than Alvin Kamara. And Derrick Henry's about 300 yards more than Alvin Kamara. That's the top three cats. So I'm looking at Kamara, and I look at what Taysom Hill's going to bring to the table along with Jamal Williams. I'm not even worried about our running back group. If they're healthy and we block, they will be productive, I truly believe.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think there was a lot said about, you know, the offensive line going into the season, and rightfully so. It was a question mark because we had three new starters going in on the offensive line. But, you know, I think we averaged like 2.9 yards per rush prior to contact. And that was first in the NFL this week. And I think if we give our backs that type of room to run and get them 3 yards down the field before they face any sort of contact, I would expect that we're going to have a lot of success running the football. And I think all of those guys are going to be really good.
Coach, if you kind of look at the Juwan Johnson touchdown late in the second quarter, really just an alignment question, I'm just curious. So you're in the red zone, so Juwan's lined up on the left side off the ball. Alvin Kamara is split out wide to the left. Carr's in the pistol formation. He's got Rashid Shaheed behind him. Taysom Hill is off of his right hip. All right, so that's the formation. Juwan scores the touchdown. I mean, that's a that's unique. I guess is that a part of a hallmark of the Clint Kubiak system is that you really don't know, right? And that's the late second quarter. You don't know who's going to line up where.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think that's the thing that our guys did a really good job of in this game plan, putting guys in different spots. It creates a lot of stress for the defense. You don't know where guys are going to line up. You don't know exactly what we're going to ask them to do when they're lined up in those positions, and yet there's just a certain amount of plays that we have where we're running different concepts, but we're running them out of all kinds of different looks, formations, motions, shifts. All of those things present challenges to the defense.
Worked perfectly yesterday, and we'll talk more with Saints head coach Dennis Allen as we work against the Carolina Panthers and talk about that, then push our way towards Dallas for week two. Back after this, you're listening to the Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Mike Hoss and Bobby Abreu with Saints head coach Dennis Allen. And coach, I want to talk about Alante Taylor a little bit. Man, the zone blitzes, so effective yesterday. He had three sacks, and you kind of rattled Bryce Young early, but you never really let him get comfortable, and you never let him get, they were always able with Taylor, an example, keeping Young in front of him and just never let him get out.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think he scrambled for like 12 yards on the day, and so that was part of the deal was to try to, keep him in the pocket as much as we possibly could. I know there's a couple times he kind of got out and threw the ball on the run. One of those, I think, ended up being an interception for us. So I thought we did a pretty good job of trying to manage his ability to create things with his feet. I thought our rush and coverage worked together really well. I think the first interception of the game, I thought there was pressure on the quarterback, really tight coverage by both, Debo and Lat, which made, the quarterback have to make a tight window throw with somebody getting shoved back into his lap, and we were able to create an interception there. So, I was pleased with what we were able to do from a rush and coverage standpoint.
Coach Allen, speaking of the rush, and you bring up how you dial in, these different dogs or blitzes, and Alante Taylor, the first defensive back in Saints history to have three sacks. But I can tell you, as a former NFL quarterback, there's nothing worse than you rush four people and it feels like a damn blitz. You can have seven people in coverage and they only bring in four. So I know you're going to challenge NASCAR package, whatever, whether that be, Cam Jordan, Carl Granderson, Brian Brzee, Chase Young, whatever it might be. Because I can tell you, even if you're an experienced quarterback, that's like a nightmare when it feels like a blitz, but it's not a blitz and you got to get rid of the ball. And it's good that you could dial up a stunt or a blitz, Alante Taylor coming free to get a sack. But I think you would agree with that. Look in the history of the NFL, some of the best defenses, it's not really even a blitz, but it feels like a blitz because that front four can get after the quarterback.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I think your ability to get after the quarterback without having to send extra elements is important. And look, I thought we were able to get after the quarterback in a four-man rush. We didn't get him on the ground maybe as much as we would hope to, but I thought we affected him with a four-man rush. And then really we only brought, in passing situations, we really only brought, a few, pressures and sent the extra man in there. Most of what we did, in the passing game really was four-man rush stuff.
Now, Coach Allen, Alante Taylor, just shows you the maturity of that individual player. What can I do to help the team? And he has the ability to be an outside corner, and then Holly's embraced and accepted the challenge to be a nickel slot corner, and then also utilized in the pass rush. And I thought it was interesting how you brought it up. Yeah, you can send a lot of people in the rush, but can they finish? There's a lot of traffic in there, and I think that's what I respect about Alante Taylor, because, you might want to look at the three sacks. But he also had like three quarterback hurries and three tackles for a loss. So I think, we talk about a player taking big strides from 1 year to the next. I'm expecting to see that with Brian Brzee going forward. And I think Alante Taylor, you look at the scouting department, how you evaluate a player. I think that's two players that are going to have high expectations for this upcoming, as we continue 2024 season.
Yeah, look, I agree with you there, Bobby. I mean, I think, Alante Taylor's a guy that has really embraced his role this year. He worked extremely hard. He had a hell of a training camp. The guy was working every single day, locked in, focused with an intent. And I think that shows in the way that he played in this game, And I think Brian Brzee's another guy that that I'm expecting some big things out of, and I think he's better playing the run right now than he was at any point last year. He's stronger. He's more stout at the point of attack. I think he's always had the ability to rush the passer, and his area of improvement needed to be in the run game, and I think he's done much better in that.
Coach, as you work towards this week, and obviously the situation with what is expected to be Hurricane Francine in the Gulf, probably they're looking at like a late Wednesday afternoon, evening arrival. What are your options? I mean, like the team is off tomorrow, at least scheduled to be. I mean, how do you make sure you keep everybody safe and don't put them in harm's way yet? Try to get in the work you need to get in.
Yeah, well, look, I think we're gonna. We talked about it a little bit this afternoon. We'll see what the updates are like in the morning. My plan is to have a Zoom call with the team at some point tomorrow afternoon, and we'll talk about, what we need to do It doesn't sound like this is anything that's going to cause for an evacuation. I think this is going to be one where, you know, we may have to alter the schedule a little bit. Sounds like it's kind of a 24-hour storm in terms of, you know, the most significant part of the weather. And so we may have to evaluate, you know, what our schedule looks like on Wednesday and Thursday. But as of right now, the plan would be to, you know, be able to get practices in here at the facility.
Now, Coach Allen, you look at the parity in the NFL, and it could come down to, I don't know, can you make the game-winning kick or not? And I'm just looking at this upcoming game against Dallas. Well, you want to talk about accurate kickers, and I'm looking at, like, Groupie. He was outstanding. This one I knew we were going to win. When Groupie made that 57-yard field goal, we're up 10-0. I know you said we still have a long way to go, but I was so confident. But I'm looking at Groupie, 57, 44-yard kick, 52-yard kick. He ends up being 4-for-4. That look at Brandon Aubrey for Dallas. He makes a 57, 50, 46, 40 yards. So I know when you probably first started, it doesn't seem like that we expected kickers. It's like almost now, it's like if it's over 60 yards, okay. But you expected them to make like 50 yards. It just seems like the kicking game has gotten that much better just within the past, I don't know, half a dozen years, decade.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I think kickers have gotten much better in terms of being able to kick the ball. You know, part of it, I think, is we're in a lot more sterile environments in terms of, you know, the indoor facilities and things like that. And I think in particular early on in the year when you're not dealing with a lot of weather, I think you see a lot more accuracy. I think you see a lot more distance. Certainly I know Dallas's kicker is an outstanding kicker. He's got a great leg. He's very accurate, you know, so and that can be a weapon, you know, when you get, you know, at or near midfield, you know, you're in scoring range. You know, it's kind of like when, you know, I don't know, Steph Curry comes across, you know, half court, he's in range, and so it puts a little bit more stress on the defense.
Take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk more with Saints head coach Dennis Allen. This is the Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. One more segment here with Saints head coach Dennis Allen on the Saints Coaches Show. And, Coach, we talked a lot about it during the training camp, so I'm just curious, how did Trevor Penning kind of grade out from the film that you looked at, as well as the wide receiver blocking, which is such a key ingredient to this Kubiak offense?
Look, I thought Trevor graded out well. There's certainly still some things that, you know, he needs to improve on, but I thought it was a big step forward for him. You know, I thought this was going to be, you know, a tough challenge going against Clowney, in particular in the passing game. I thought he did a pretty good job there. I thought he was really tough and nasty in the run game. I saw him move some people off the ball the first play of the game. You know, I felt like he moved Derrick Brown, you know, off the ball, which was a big point of emphasis for us in this game. So I was pleased with what I saw. I think it's something that he can build on. And look, the receivers, man, I was really proud of those guys because they went in there and they put their face on some guys and got some key blocks that helped us, you know, be able to get 180 yards rushing. And you know, a lot of that's up front with the offensive line. A lot of that's the runners and how they ran the football, but there's a lot of it that's the receivers, you know, getting in there and blocking in the running game. And probably one of the better plays, you know, ended up getting called back with a holding call, but I thought the blocking on the perimeter was outstanding. And I think that's how you create, explosive runs.
You know, Coach Allen, talk about explosiveness, Rashid Shaheed. Obviously, to set the tone at the beginning of the game, well, you couldn't draw it up better. Five plays, 76 yards. He gets the 59-yard touchdown. I thought Derek Carr was 34, hung in there tough, and he made the throw, and we're up 7-0. But I look at, like, what he brings to the table in the return game. I mean, I don't know if I'd take anyone else. When you look at punt or kick returns with the new rules and all that, but he ended up having that one kickoff return, 33 yards. I think anything right now, the way it's structured, over 30 yards, that's a big plus. than the one long gain. The punt return 47 yards. So averaging 20 yards, if you double digits around 14, you're like all pro, which he's been in the past. But a lot like Alvin had 110 yards, but Rashid Shaheed, 166 total yards. That's one thing you can't coach your speed, right, Coach? I mean, I don't know. Either you're fast or you're not fast. I mean, and Rashid Shaheed can hit it and get it.
Yeah, there's no question, man. I mean, look, when you say that, Bobby, it just, you know, I think about, like, I thought our offense looked fast. I thought Alvin looked fast. I thought Chris Olave looked fast. I thought Rashid Shaheed looked fast. You know, the tempo was fast. It was good to see. And Shaheed brings an explosive element to a lot of different phases. The stuff that he's able to do in the return game, the way he's able to get behind the defense in the passing game. Peyton Turner's the one that made the tackle on the punt return. Otherwise, Rashid Shaheed'd still be running. But it was good to see. He was a big part of what we're able to do. And one of the things that people don't really think about or wouldn't even notice, but you know, there's a couple of bad punts that they had where the ball's on the ground and he's able to field the ball and probably saved us another, you know, 10 to 12 yards of field position by not letting that thing roll and getting us into a backed up situation. So I thought his decision making back there, you know, as a punt returner was pretty good.
Now, Coach Allen, when you look at Dallas, now we have a tough, but it's always the NFL. We have a tough start to the season considering the teams that we're going to be playing. Now, obviously, the cliche, one week at a time. But looking at Dallas, and I know you don't have to challenge the team, but I know I've been part of teams where a couple of seasons we won 12 games, 11 games. That's hard to do. It's hard to win the NFL. But Dallas has won 12 games in each of the past three seasons. Now, obviously, what you could do in the postseason. So it's going to be a big challenge to go on the road against Dallas and to come away with a win. But I know y'all accept that. But you got to look at the consistency. People and I want to give them credit because of the postseason. But I know, I tell you right now, you know that's hard to do. Three straight seasons, they've won 12 games the past each of the past 3 years.
Yeah, well, look, I've been a part of some of those teams around here where we've won, you know, 11 and 12 games, 13 games, and done that in consecutive seasons, and I know how hard that is to do. It's extremely difficult to do. So we certainly have a lot of respect for Dallas and what they've been able to do. They got a lot of really good players. They're really well coached. They play outstanding at home. And so this will be a tough environment. This will be a tough game for us. And yet, this is the type of games that, you know, if we want to be the type of team that we think we can be, you know, these are the type of games that we got to go in and perform. And so I think our guys are excited about the opportunity. We're looking forward to it, and we understand what a challenge this is going to be.
Well, Coach, heck of a win yesterday. Great way to christen the newly renovated Caesar Superdome, not to mention that beautiful new locker room. And, you know, have a great week and, you know, with all the challenges with the weather coming up. But congratulations.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Y'all take care.
All right, thank you, Coach.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back on the Saints Coaches Show, we will bring in assistant head coach and special teams coach Darren Rizzi. Lots to talk about from a special team standpoint with both New Orleans and Dallas. So keep it right here on the Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. Mike Hoss, Bobby Hebert, and happy to bring in Darren Rizzi, assistant head coach now in his sixth season, as well as special teams. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. How are you?
We're doing well, and we're going to get into deeper dive with Groupie and Aubrey and maybe even Chris Boswell, but I want to talk about the kind of the kickoff impact, the dynamic kickoff impact. And so for week one of 24 thus far, 34% of the kickoffs were returned. Last year, 20.5%, so a 14-point increase. And there was one touchdown yesterday, and they only had four touchdowns in all of 23. And I guess, you know, I'm going to ask, the next question would be about your specific game plan, but is it overall about what you expected for week one?
Yeah, you know what, guys? I think there's probably some teams out there that are taking a little bit of a wait and see approach. And you know, you can never really get a full beat on anything from the preseason. And so, listen, I think there's some teams out there that are going to kind of come slow out of the gate. I think there's probably a dozen or 15 teams or so that are probably going to be a little bit more aggressive with it. Listen, I think when the league at the last second knocked the touchback down from 35-yard line to the 30-yard line, we totally expected the return rate to kind of be a little bit lower than we initially anticipated. And so, you know, the initial proposal had the touchback at the 35, and, you know, the powers to be kind of pushed the rule through with the touchback at the 30. So, listen, anything at this point is an improvement than what we had. We had the lowest return rate in the history of the NFL last year. I'm glad to see that, you know, we came out of the gate with a 14% increase. There were certainly some, you know, some big plays. And listen, our game specifically, I thought our guys covered well and you know, we did a good job with it. So, listen, it'll be on a week-to-week basis, kind of a game plan thing, but definitely at least we have a lot of people talking about the kickoff. We got a lot of eyes on it, and I think we got a good product right now.
And that was just a quick follow-up on your plan, so to speak. First off, you kicked off 10 times, so you do that, you know, good gosh, 10 times, 3 in the end zone, 1 touchback, and it felt like, and that, you said, it is going to be a week-to-week game plan, and yesterday's more kind of the line drives, and, man, Groupie's kicks, about almost all of them, other than the one in the end zone, were like the 1 or 2, so was that the kind of the plan?
Yeah, for yesterday's game plan, that was the plan. I thought Blake kicked the ball off really, really well. He executed what we wanted to do in that specific game very well. I thought he located the ball great, and that's what it's all about now with this new kickoff. It's the location of the kick is going to be really important. So whether you're going to go directional to the corners or whether you're going to try to keep the ball in the middle of the field, everyone's going to be a little bit different, and that's going to change for us week to week as well, depending on the team we're playing. But I thought he executed well. I mentioned before, I thought we covered well. You know, one really amazing stat that I was telling the guys today, you know, last year under the old rules, we had 12 kickoff returns that we had to, you know, face, if you will, for the entire 2023 season, where we actually had to get the ball carrier, the returner on the ground. And yesterday we already had 9. So, you know, this is going to be a thing where, for us, you know, we're going to have to cover a lot more kicks and execute every week, but it certainly was a good start.
And Coach Rizzi, speaking of covering, you know, we always expect JT Gray. I'm looking at, he had 3 total special teams tackled, 1 unassisted. You look Isaiah Foskey, who we wanted to step up. He also contributed 3. But Anthony Orji, I mean, who doesn't love an Orji? I mean, I'm looking at, he has like 4 special teams tackles, 3 unassisted. Orji seems like he's that linebacker that we always find that contributes at a high level in special teams. You got to be pleased with that.
Well, you know what, Bobby? I'm not going to go near the Orji question, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you that Anthony Orji has really improved in the last couple of years, and I'm really, really proud of his performance yesterday. You know, you look back at our linebacker core from last year, special teams-wise, you know, Andrew Dowell gets hurt in the preseason, and then Nephi Sewell steps up, and Ty Summers, and Zach Bond. You know, all these guys that are not playing for us right now. We have a couple guys we lost in free agency, a couple of guys we lost to injury. And so you're right. You know, a guy like Orji stepped up, and he had a great start to the game. He made the first 3 tackles on our first 3 kickoffs. I'm really, really happy for him. He's a guy that's really developed. It's a credit to our scouting department. Here's a guy that's undrafted, and it's a credit to our linebacking coaches, you know, and our defensive coaches. Here's a guy that they've developed. And listen, he put himself in position to make a bunch of plays yesterday. Was really, really happy for him. You mentioned Foskey, you mentioned JT. All those guys had multiple tackles, so it's good. It's good not to be one dimensional. It's really good to have multiple guys that you can count on. And I was really, really happy for him yesterday.
And Coach Rizzi, talk about guys you can count on. This is pretty much a pro as pro could be. I'm looking at Groupie. Well, I was so ecstatic when he made that 57-yarder. We're up 10-0. But if you go on, 57, 44, 52 yards, ends up being 4-for-4. But I'm looking at come this Sunday, you look at Brandon Aubrey for Dallas. 57, 50, 46, 40 yards. So it could come down to, like, okay, you know, whoever has the ball last, you always hear that cliche. But, like, it could come down to, okay, are you going to make the game-winning kick or not? And I think both the Saints and Dallas has those type of individuals to make those game-winning kicks.
Yeah, listen, I'll start with Blake Groupie. I'm super happy for him. I'm not surprised. Listen, I've watched this guy the last couple of years. I watch the way he prepares every day. I watch him go out and practice. You know, I know a lot of people talked about Charlie Smith in our preseason because Charlie's got, you know, really got a bright future and a big leg, and obviously Charlie's on our practice squad. But I thought Blake handled that really, really well. He's a really professional, like you mentioned, great practice, work ethic. And listen, to go out and see him do that yesterday was great. It was a big, big, huge uplift for the team. When he made that 57-yarder, like you said, it gave us a 2-score lead, and then he makes, you know, goes 4 for 4. As far as Dallas goes, listen, first of all, I got a ton of respect for their special teams coordinator, John Fossil. You know, Bones does a heck of a job. He's a good friend and a hell of a coach. They've done a great job of developing their kicker, Brandon Aubrey. You know, one of the things that kind of gets lost yesterday, he actually made a 66-yarder at the end of the first half, but it got negated because of a delay of game call. And he made another 60-plus yarder in the preseason. This guy's got a monster leg. He's really done well on 50-plus yard field goals. And so we got our work cut out for us this week. This is going to be a really, really big challenge for us. Well-coached team, a lot of good players, really good specialists, really good returner, really good core players. And so obviously we're going on the road. And so, you know, we got to step up to the challenge this week for sure.
And Coach, what a day yesterday for kickers. So first of all, you know, Groupie with 4 for 4. Boswell, 6 for 6, 57, 51, 56. I'm watching all the highlights around the league. I'm just watching these long kicks. I went through the game books. So there were 17 field goals of 50-plus, including 3 57s, 2 56s. And Bobby talked about this earlier with Coach Allen. I mean, it's like it's almost the sky's the limit, right? And I think even they probably thought about, welcome back, Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert, and happy to bring in Darren Rizzi, assistant head coach now in his sixth season, as well as special teams. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. How are you?
We're doing well, and we're going to get into deeper dive with Groupie and Aubrey and maybe even Chris Boswell, but I want to talk about the kind of the kickoff impact, the dynamic kickoff impact. And so for week one of 24 thus far, 34% of the kickoffs were returned. Last year, 20.5%, so a 14-point increase. And there was one touchdown yesterday, and they only had 4 touchdowns in all of 23. And I guess, you know, I'm going to ask, the next question would be about your specific game plan, but is it overall about what you expected for week one?
Yeah, you know what, guys, I think there's probably some teams out there that are taking a little bit of a wait and see approach. And you know, you can never really get a full beat on anything from the preseason. And so, listen, I think there's some teams out there that are going to kind of come slow out of the gate. I think there's probably a dozen or 15 teams or so that are probably going to be a little bit more aggressive with it. Listen, I think when they, you know, when the league at the last second knocked the touchback down from 35 yard line to the 30 yard line, we totally expected the return rate to kind of be a little bit lower than we initially anticipated. And so, you know, the initial proposal had the touchback at the 35, and, you know, the powers to be kind of pushed the rule through with the touchback at the 30. So, listen, anything at this point is an improvement than what we had. We had the lowest return rate in the history of the NFL last year. I'm glad to see that, you know, we came out of the gate with a 14% increase. There were certainly some, you know, some big plays. And listen, our game specifically, I thought our guys covered well, and you know, we did a good job with it. So, listen, it'll be on a week-to-week basis, kind of a game plan thing, but definitely at least we have a lot of people talking about the kickoff. We got a lot of eyes on it, and I think we got a good product right now.
And that was just a quick follow-up on your plan, so to speak. First off, you kicked off 10 times, so yeah, let's keep you do that. You know, good gosh, 10 times, 3 in the end zone, 1 touchback. And it felt like, and that you said, it is going to be a week to week game plan. And yesterday's more kind of the line drives. And man, Groupie's kicks, about almost all of them, other than the one in the end zone, were like the 1 or 2. So, was that the kind of the plan?
Yeah, for yesterday's game plan, that was the plan. I thought Blake kicked the ball off really, really well. He executed what we wanted to do in that specific game very well. I thought he located the ball great, and that's what it's all about now with this new kickoff. It's the location of the kick is going to be really important. So whether you're going to go directional to the corners or whether you're going to try to keep the ball in the middle of the field, everyone's going to be a little bit different, and that's going to change for us week to week as well, depending on the team we're playing. But I thought he executed well. I mentioned before, I thought we covered well. You know, one really amazing stat that I was telling the guys today, you know, last year under the old rules, we had 12 kickoff returns that we had to, you know, face, if you will, for the entire 2023 season, where we actually had to get the ball carrier, the returner on the ground. And yesterday we already had 9. So, you know, this is going to be a thing where, for us, you know, we're going to have to cover a lot more kicks and execute every week, but it certainly was a good start.
And Coach Rizzi, speaking of covering, you know, we always expect JT Gray. I'm looking at, he had 3 total special teams tackled, 1 unassisted. You look Isaiah Foskey, who we wanted to step up. He also contributed 3. But Anthony Orji, I mean, who doesn't love an Orji? I mean, I'm looking at, he has like 4 special teams tackles, 3 unassisted. Orji seems like he's that linebacker that we always find that contributes at a high level in special teams. You got to be pleased with that.
Well, you know what, Bobby? I'm not going to go near the Orji question, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you that Anthony Orji has really improved in the last couple of years, and I'm really, really proud of his performance yesterday. You know, you look back at our linebacker core from last year, special teams-wise, you know, Andrew Dowell gets hurt in the preseason, and then Nephi Sewell steps up, and Ty Summers and Zach Bond, you know, all these guys that are not playing for us right now. We have a couple guys we lost in free agency, a couple of guys we lost to injury, and so you're right. You know, a guy like Orji stepped up, and he had a great start to the game. He made the first 3 tackles on our first 3 kickoffs. I'm really, really happy for him. He's a guy that's really developed. It's a credit to our scouting department. Here's a guy that's undrafted, and it's a credit to our linebacking coaches, you know, and our defensive coaches. Here's a guy that they've developed. And he put himself in position to make a bunch of plays yesterday. Was really, really happy for him. You mentioned Foskey. You mentioned JT. All those guys had multiple tackles. So it's good. It's good not to be one dimensional. It's really good to have multiple guys that you can count on. And I was really, really happy for him yesterday.
And Coach Rizzi, talk about guys you can count on. This is pretty much a pro as pro could be. I'm looking at Groupie. I was so ecstatic when he made that 57-yarder. We're up 10-0. But if you go on, 57, 44, 52 yards, ends up being 4-for-4. But I'm looking at come this Sunday, you look at Brandon Aubrey for Dallas. 57, 50, 46, 40 yards. So it could come down to whoever has the ball last, you always hear that cliche. It could come down to, are you going to make the game-winning kick or not? And I think both the Saints and Dallas has those type of individuals to make those game-winning kicks.
Yeah, listen, I'll start with Blake Groupie. I'm super happy for him. I'm not surprised. I've watched this guy the last couple of years. I watch the way he prepares every day. I watch him go out and practice. You know, I know a lot of people talked about Charlie Smith in our preseason because Charlie's got, you know, really got a bright future and a big leg, and obviously Charlie's on our practice squad. But I thought Blake handled that really, really well. He's a really professional, like you mentioned, great practice work ethic. And listen, to go out and see him do that yesterday was great. It was a big, big, huge uplift for the team. When he made that 57-yarder, like you said, it gave us a 2-score lead, and then he makes, you know, goes 4-for-4. As far as Dallas goes, listen, first of all, I got a ton of respect for their special teams coordinator, John Fossil. You know, Bones does a heck of a job. He's a good friend and a hell of a coach. They've done a great job of developing their kicker, Brandon Aubrey. One of the things that kind of gets lost yesterday, he actually made a 66-yarder at the end of the first half, but it got negated because of a delay of game call. And he made another 60-plus yarder in the preseason. This guy's got a monster leg. He's really done well on 50-plus yard field goals. And so we got our work cut out for us this week. This is going to be a really big challenge for us. well-coached team, a lot of good players, really good specialists, really good returner, really good core players. And so, obviously, we're going on the road. And so, you know, we got to step up to the challenge this week for sure.
And, Coach, what a day yesterday for kickers. So, first of all, you know, Karupi with 4-for-4. Boswell, 6-for-6, 57, 51, 56. I'm watching all the highlights around the league. I'm just watching these long kicks. I went through the game books. So there were 17 field goals of 50-plus, including 357s, 256s. And Bobby talked about this earlier with Coach Allen. I mean, it's like it's almost the sky's the limit, right? And I think even they probably thought about the 71-yarder with Aubrey. I mean, it's kind of unbelievable.
You know, they had him out there for a while. I was watching the game live when I was home, and I think once they saw the returner underneath the goalpost, they thought second about it or twice about it. But listen, the kickers in this league are really, really special players. They just continue to get better and better and better. And you know, with this new kickoff rule, you know, the start drive, the drive start average is going to be higher. And so people are going to get into field goal range maybe a little bit more. So I actually think you're going to see a lot of these 50-plus yard field goals come up. And, you know, like I said, just, you know, Chris Boswell, you know, he single-handedly wins the game for Pittsburgh yesterday. One side note to that, their punter got hurt, and he actually had to go in and punt their last punt, and he punted 43 yards. So he had an unbelievable day. And you know, you mentioned Aubrey, you mentioned Groupie, and you look around the league, a bunch of guys had great days. And so, you know, Bobby mentioned it earlier. So many of these games come down to one score games. I feel like every year it's more and more and more. And so every point is critical. Every extra point, which sometimes goes unnoticed, every field goal, all these points are just at a premium. And so, you know, it was a good start yesterday, like I said, and that's got to kind of have to be our foundation for sure.
And Coach Rizzi, to continue along the kicking line, like with the punter, with Hayball. The Houdat Nation, we're a little spoiled with Thomas Morstead and the consistency that he brought to the table. And I would say two phases. I would say the only negative, you know, you're always looking for positive and negatives, and you break it down, was the 10 penalties, you know, 95 yards. That's old school. 9 penalties or more, 100 yards, that's like giving up a touchdown. But with Hayball, I know he had one inside the 20. But when you look at, like, I explained to the fans also by gross and net, because to me that net average is what is critical. And I'm looking at Hayball having a couple of punts, but a 36.5 yard average. I think he even realizes that he has to be better than that. Is that a fair assessment or what?
Well, Bobby, I am shocked that you would bring up any negatives. I'm floored, but all kids. All kidding aside, listen, I'm going to tell you the first positive. I'm going to go on a positive. The good news is that Matt Hayball stood around for pretty much 3 hours before he had to punt, because our offense was incredible yesterday and got ourselves in the scoring position. So he didn't punt until late in the game in the fourth quarter. So he stood around. He had 10 holds for Groupie between extra points and field goals, and that's a good problem. But listen, Matt obviously is a rookie punter. Was really, really impressed with him throughout the preseason. And I'm really, really excited about this guy's future. He's very, very talented. He's a left-footed punter. I think everybody knows that by now. You know, back to your point about the gross and the net, you know, the net number is certainly the most important number. Now, yesterday we only had 2 punts. That's going to be a number that we're going to keep a close eye on. You know, one of those punts was from inside the 50, so you really don't have a chance to get big numbers there. But listen, I'm excited about Matt. I think Matt's got a super high ceiling. I know, you know, like you mentioned, Thomas Morstead. Thomas, you know, made the fans around here very comfortable for a lot of years. Very, very, you know, accurate guy and consistent guy. And I, there's no doubt in my mind that Matt's got a big future, and we're looking forward to watching him.
Well, Coach, it was a win in all phases, clearly special teams, defense, and offense. Congratulations. Thanks for your time. And I know as the assistant head coach, you'll be a big part of this whole scheduling challenges and see what happens with Francine. And best of luck this week, and get another one in Dallas.
I appreciate you guys, as always. Good talking to you guys. Have a great one.
Saints assistant head coach and special teams coordinator, Darren Rizzi. Bobby, as always, my pleasure, my friend. We will say goodnight to you.
All right. Thank you, Hoss.
And when we come back, we will hand the mic over to Mike Dettillier, sitting beside Bobby Hebert. Go back to the Silver Slipper Casino. We'll talk about Monday Night Football around the NFL, the NFC South, on the Saints Coaches Show right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Saints Coaches Show, Mike Hawson. We go back out to the Silver Slipper in Hancock County, Mississippi, where Mike Dettillier joins us, analyst of all things football. And Mike was, surprising good, surprising bad that you take away from that first NFL weekend?
Man, Bob and I were talking about this. The two things really good that really kind of caught me was the Saints' offensive line play. I didn't know where that came from because we didn't know what was going to happen there. And their ability to control things up front and run the football. And, you know, okay, the Panthers are going through some rebuilding along the offensive line. But that defensive front, okay, they don't have Brian Burns, but they had everybody else sort of back. And how well they were able to establish a running game, get some physicalities up front was impressive to me. And then watching the Cowboys put pressure on the quarterback against Deshaun Watson and Micah Parsons, you could tell it was hat on a hat and three hats. They at one time had three guys trying to block him, and he still got in. Six sacks given up in that football game, and the pressure there was unbelievable. They got away from the running game, Mike, and I think that's been their bread and butter. Okay, you don't have Nick Chubb, but still, you can't get away from who you are identity-wise. Those two things really, really stood out to me. And if I had a third, it would be Arizona getting in the ring with Buffalo. And, man, they gave the Bills everything they wanted. They didn't come up with the win, but that was a really hard-fought game. And I give the Cardinals, they are a well-coached football team. They don't have a ton of talent on that team, but whatever they got, man, they give you everything, and they squeeze all the vitamin C they can out of that orange.
Pittsburgh goes to Atlanta, wins with six field goals. How hot is the kitchen already in ATL with Kirk Cousins?
Good one this morning, and it couldn't be any hotter. It's about as hot as the Gulf waters. I mean, they are really unbelievably hot about the fact that why didn't Kirk Cousins play in the preseason? And, you know, it's so funny. Last Wednesday, we had Jake DeLome on, and I'm talking to Jake, and he was like, Mike, I can't believe the Panthers as an offensive unit, everybody as a group, the first team, didn't take a snap in the preseason. What the hell are they thinking of? Well, what are they thinking of? This isn't a team that went to the Super Bowl. And he says, man, I look at Kansas City. They play in Mahomes in the first string unit. They play him for a quarter or so in virtually every game other than the last one. That was a total beatdown. Listen, Atlanta's defense hung in there and played pretty well, but T.J. Watt was more in the backfield than Bijan Robinson was.
Yeah. Tonight's game, Monday Night Football for the second straight year. Aaron Rodgers against tonight at playing at San Francisco. Of course, Monday night last year, three official snaps, and Charlie Long passed along a note earlier. He said the Jets are 1-12 in their last primetime games. Late news for all those fantasy people. I feel bad who had Christian McCaffrey. He will not play tonight. So thoughts about tonight?
Man, okay, if you'd asked me this before that got leaked, I'd have said San Francisco wins. Without McCaffrey, he's such a – Mike, we've seen it. He's such a big part of that offense as a runner and a receiver. And even when he's not touching the ball, man, he scares you of what he could do. And he opens up everything for everybody else. Also, too, so much distraction this offseason with the Trent Williams holdout. What was happening with Brandon Ayuk? I got no idea what's going on there. And you know what? The Jets, haven't they been quiet this offseason? Now, it wasn't a noisy offseason like it was a year ago. You know what? I think the Jets may end up pulling this one out. I really do. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, they are legit contenders, and their defense is really good. And Breece Hall, maybe if you're a fantasy football guy, you know about him a lot. Man, he is one heck of a running back, and it wouldn't shock me tonight to see the Jets win this game.
You know, because San Francisco, they had some distractions, but they're not Dallas. Dallas seems to thrive on distractions. Like, they're so good at it, they're so used to it, they just literally seem to thrive on it.
Isn't that orchestrated almost by the owner himself?
Oh, top down.
I mean, he likes that. I think he likes that particular part of it. And Dallas, man, I look back throughout the last 5 or 6 years, there's nobody in the National Football League that's drafted better than them. When you look at their draft choices, how they've been able to hit, the problem has been they have not been able to get deals before somebody else sets the market. And it puts them in a bad spot. They waited, I don't know how long, for CeeDee Lamb, and then now you had to pay him basically the top dollar. Same thing with Dak Prescott, because he had him by the teriyaki. There was no place to go at that point. They have drafted so well. They got a very young football team. But, Mike, I don't know if they can run the football. Their offensive line's good, but losing Pollard, and then you got guys in the backfield, I don't know if they're ready to take over. This is an opportunity for the Saints here to say, if you're going to beat us, Dak, you're going to have to be the one to do it. Because I think you'll be able to stop their running game. It's going to be the pitch and catch part, and their defense is so opportunistic and being able to get pressure, sacks, turnovers. So I think it comes down, Bob and I talked about that, come down to the kicking game. Punting and kicking, set up field position, and hitting those field goals. And, man, they got an unbelievable kicker there that he can launch them. And yeah. Groupie really, really came through for this football team yesterday. You got to give him a lot of credit. 5 field goals, 57-yarder, tying his career long. Mike, I think it might come down to that. It might come down to that all-important part, winning on special teams.
And another adjustment, and my last question is that it's just a normal week for Dallas. Tomorrow's a day off. They'll practice on Wednesday. We'll think twice about it. But the Saints have got to deal with what is possibly going to be a Category 2 hurricane arriving on Wednesday afternoon. So it's just adjust. And so, you know, they've done it before, and they're going to have to do it again this week.
Yeah. I think we all, Mike, we're in that mode of adjustment.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, I still live on the bayou, so everybody's adjusting. There is always that distraction. And you can say, oh, it's your job. But there is still the distraction part of getting you out of the routine of what you would normally do. This team has been through it quite a few times already. And hopefully by Thursday, everything will be cleared out. I think the next 2 days might be a little rough. But I think by Thursday it's cleared out. And then it's, hey, take on the Cowboys at this stage and try to shock the world.
All right, my friend. Mike Dettillier, thank you as always.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks to head coach Dennis Allen, assistant head coach Darren Rizzi, Charlie Long in the booth, and, of course, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Thanks for listening to the Saints Coaches Show. We'll see you next week on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the crazy that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.